The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth. The trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life? In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me. Today we're going to discuss the essence of my message regarding men and women, and then we'll ask the question, why are you afraid of dying? The overview. The relationship between men and women, or man or women, is the essential foundation on which human existence builds. This broadcast discusses the main elements of that relationship that are essential to understanding the role of men and women in life. This broadcast is focused solely on spirit-filled believers in the Almighty Creator. Elements of it will not make any sense to others. We will start by stating that Yah created men and women with a clear vision. We will note that Yah intended men to lead and defend, and that there are seven times as many women as men in the body of true believers today. We will look at the demographics of women and men on earth in the body of true believers, and note that sexual intercourse with a virgin is the act of marriage. We will stress that Yah intends passionate sexual lovemaking and that sexual orgasm in contact causes a one-flesh bond. We will note that adultery is the formation of one-flesh bonds between men. We will then consider the question, why are you afraid of dying? And finally, we'll look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a management consultant. I have over 30 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993 when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of about 13 and I served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy of the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator. It forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Mission Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's endtimeissueministries.org for more information. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. There are at least 4 podcast websites with back issues. So we're going to look today at 2022-07-04, the essence of my message regarding men and women. The relationship between man and woman, or woman, is the essential foundation on which human existence builds. This article discusses the main elements of that relationship that are essential to understanding the role of men and women in life. This article is focused solely on spiritual believers in the Almighty Creator. Elements of it will not make sense to any sense to others. So, folks, the key thing here is, in order to reproduce, we need men and women. We need both sexes, and they need to function sexually in order to breed. All these other variants that are now emerging are, I'm sorry to say it, but they're deception. A man is born a man, and a woman is born a woman, and a woman is a man with a womb. Not some poor human being that has been subject to psychological manipulation and abuse and misdirection, and then been fed drugs and in some cases surgically changed. It's tragic. It's really tragic. It's not the way we were intended to be. Men should be men and women should be women. But as I say, if you're an unbeliever, that may not make any sense to you. If you are a believer and you're in that place, then it's between you and Father what you do about it. So my first point is that Yah created men and women with a clear vision. Yah created men and women with a clear vision of their respective roles, and for us to understand this and operate according to the original design. A man united with one or more women with a strong sexual bond is a very powerful spiritual bond. Folks, there's a lot of confusion about men and women and sex today. You're not living to your full potential as a man if you have not had strong sexual orgasm with a woman. And as a woman, you're not living your full potential if you've not had strong sexual orgasm with a man, or possibly with another woman. That's what we were created for. We were created to enjoy being men and enjoy being women and to enjoy making love. And I can't stress that enough. We need to get back to that fundamental picture of men as men and women, as co-heirs of the matters of Father. We're created to do different things. We're created equal. And it's entirely possible for women to be powerful leaders and managers, etc. There was nothing in Father's plan that said that they should be. Ideally, men and women should be in business together, whether it's farming, whether it's commerce, whatever. But long way from that now. Then Yah intended men to lead and defend. Yah intended men to lead and defend, and women to support and nurture. These roles are equally important. A man and his woman, or woman in perfect harmony, is a phenomenally powerful spiritual entity. This is comparable to the commanding officer of a military unit and the second in command or command council. There's a huge amount of wrong thinking about men and women. I think the one that sticks out are the things that one reads in the news, and one never knows for sure what's accurate in the news or not. But about the way women are treated in Afghanistan and the way women are treated in Iran. This thing of them not being allowed to be educated, not being allowed to go out on their own, having to wear clothes that totally cloak them, and being beaten up if they break these laws. It's not the way Father intended things to be. He intended women to be co-equal with men. And we'll see in a minute, we'll talk about this in more detail, but I just want to make the point here. There are many more women in heaven than men. So the men who are doing these things need to wake up, because they are quite possibly not going to make it into heaven. And the women that they're oppressing and treating so badly might just make it into heaven ahead of them. And if they do scrape by, if the men do scrape by and make it into heaven, they might find that they're taking orders from the women that they oppressed. Big subject. Then, as I touched on a few minutes ago, there are seven times as many women as men in the body of true believers today. There are seven times as many women as men in the body of true believers on earth today, and many more women than men in heaven. Women have equal standing as men before Yah in all matters. And it's grievous sin to subordinate them or put them down. Because there are not sufficient men for all believing women to have a believing husband, and because it is grievous sin for a believer to join themselves sexually to an unbeliever, the majority of believing women in this age should remain without a sexual union with a man. They're entitled to have a lifetime permanent caring sexual relationship with another believing woman or women, plural. Rick Joyner, in the book The Final Quest, a series of visions taken up into heaven, reports that there are many times more women than men on thrones in heaven today. See the copy of the book on the website under Eternity, The Final Quest. You can buy the book on Amazon. If you search on Google, you'll find various copies free to download. It's a very important book. It contains, like all these things, it contains a degree of error. It's got wrong thinking around the Bible and who the person of Yeshua is. But important. And also, just in fact, been listening to The Final Quest in the last couple of days, even in what he describes as the battle, many times more women than men, many times more women and children than men. So if you're a man and you're listening to this, you need to check out where you stand with the Almighty, because you might be in for a nasty shock. The demographics of women and men on the earth in the body of true believers today. Now, this refers to, if you look on the website, there's a page called the Demographics of the Kingdom. And the different ranks in heaven, or the different ranks on earth today, as they would qualify to go to heaven if they died today. Those closest to the throne, the good and faithful servants, know that, that there are overcomers and friends closer than that, but there are so few of them that the statistics are not relevant. The good and faithful servants, 10 women to one man. The wise stewards, 7 women to one man. The adulterous wives, 3 women to one man. The foolish virgins, 4 women to one man. The outer darkness, the unbelieving believers, 2 women to one man. And the believing unbelievers, 3 women to one man. Overall, 7 women for every man on earth today, will make it into heaven if the judgment comes today. So as I said a minute ago, if you're a man and you have some bad attitude towards women, whether it be your wife, your daughter, women generally, you need to take a good long heart at what you believe, because you are potentially in for a nasty shock when you die. I can't stress that enough. Men should treat women equally and well. As a man, be aware that you may be accountable to a woman in heaven, if you make it there at all. And be aware that treating women badly on earth will lead to harsh judgment when you die. Note that it is entirely possible for a believing woman to become a high-powered business executive, government minister, or other leader in this age. A lot of what we read about in the Bible about the way men and women interrelated or related is inaccurate. It accurately reflects what was done in that age. However, that does not indicate that is the way that Father intended things to be. As I've just said, Father created men and women to be equal, and there are many more women in good relationship with Father than there are men in good relationship with Father. So it grieves me when I read in the news about the way women are being treated in Afghanistan and Iran. And I believe it's happening in other countries as well, the way women are treated in some African countries and so forth. But those are the two that are making the headlines at the moment, and it's so tragic. It's so really not the way Father intended things to be. My fourth point, sexual intercourse with a virgin is the act of marriage. Sexual intercourse with a virgin, with rupturing of the hymen and shedding of blood, is a covenant act and initiates a lifelong relationship. The taking of virginity is the act of marriage. The marriage ceremony in church, mosque, synagogue, registry office, etc., is meaningless and carries very little weight in the court of heaven, although legal divorce is required before a woman can join herself to another man without judgment. When a woman has lost her hymen or is a widow or legitimately divorced in the court of heaven, first sexual intercourse with the ejaculation of semen and spirit constitutes the act of marriage. The terms of the union are fixed at the point of shedding of blood or the point of first ejaculation. Folks, there's no such thing as sex before marriage. Sexual intercourse with a virgin is marriage. Sexual intercourse with a legitimately divorced woman who's been prayed to be set free, sexual intercourse with a widow, is the act of marriage. Sexual intercourse with a woman who's joined to another man is adultery. It's fornication. It's an abomination in the sight of Yah, because the woman is then one with two or more men. Sex has been downgraded to some casual thing. I mean, I was reading some article the other day that children as young as 8 or 10 are being encouraged in some schools, I think it was in the United States, to explore their sexuality. I mean, it totally destroys what it's intended to be. Because a woman can only covenant with one man, it is apparent that Father intended men and women to be able to live in covenant relationships of one man with more than one woman. Regrettably, in this age, very few women are able to share their men, so monogamy is prevalent and unavoidable. See the article on the website, The Essence of Message, Read the Virgin's Covenant. And then regarding divorce, see the article, The Essence of the Message, Separation of Men and Women. And regarding sex, see the article, The Essence of My Message Regarding Sex. So as far as more than one woman, more than one wife is concerned, this is not a trophy gathering exercise. This is about a group of powerful believers working together to achieve Yah's goals and mobilizing their combined spiritual resources. Sadly, it is most Western women in particular are completely against it, can't handle it. Even in Eastern women, there's a lot that can't handle it. I met once with a Muslim woman who'd done a master's thesis studying the situation with regard to families with more than one wife. Islam permits four wives. And she'd surveyed something like 400 families. And what she found was that in those families where they were all close to father, the four wives was working. And in those families where they were not close to father, the four wives was not working. Then Yah intends passionate sexual lovemaking. Yah designed us to enjoy passionate, caring, considerate sexual lovemaking with multiple orgasms to result in a powerful force that binds man and woman or women together through the one flesh bond, soul ties, love bond, etc. Yah's will is totally uninhibited lovemaking within the lifetime covenant union. With skillful lovemaking, it is possible for man and woman to experience absolutely amazingly intense sexual climaxes. There are a variety of levels, and as far as I can see, the vast majority of people don't get anywhere near their full potential sexually, and that's one of the reasons why people wander from one sexual relationship to another. They're unfulfilled. They're looking for some magic experience. And the magic experience is there for them in their relationship if they learn how to stimulate each other, how to make love to each other. It's about giving to one another, not taking from one another, not demanding, not forcing oneself on one another. And again, men in particular are very misled as far as this is concerned, but so are women. They don't understand how beautiful sexual lovemaking can be, how powerful it can be. And the stronger the orgasms, the stronger the one flesh bond, the stronger the man and woman are bonded together, the stronger the love bond that forms between them, the stronger the just every aspect until they become truly one. And that's lost in most situations today, and it's so sad. Then sexual orgasm in contact causes a one flesh bond. So sexual orgasm or ejaculation of male and female projects the spirit of the person climaxing. And if this happens in contact with another being, a one flesh bond is formed. This is intended to bind man and woman together. A one flesh bond can be formed with any part of the other person's spirit. During vaginal intercourse, this is the strongest bond. Ejaculation in the vulva, the external sexual organ of the woman, is a betrothal level bond, as is ejaculation in her anus or mouth. Ejaculation elsewhere produces a weaker bond. Men can form one flesh bonds with other men if they have sex with other men, and humans can form one flesh bonds with animals. These are both abominations in the sight of Yah. And it's also possible to form a very weak one flesh bond through phone sex or Zoom sex or Skype sex or whatever, remote lovemaking. This is intended to bind man and woman together. So the whole focus of marriage should be a limited celebration, all of which is building to the man and woman making love powerfully, passionately, and fulfilled way, which means that they need to receive some instruction on technique, etc. It is absolutely possible for a man to have multiple orgasms, to give his woman multiple orgasms, and that produces a strong bond that makes the marriage, the union, pretty much unbreakable. Then adultery, as I said just now, is the formation of one flesh bonds between men. Adultery is the formation of a one flesh bond between two men. Either two men who both have a bond with the same woman, or two men who directly have sex with another or with an animal. Either way, it's an abomination. It is no greater sin for men to have sexual intercourse with men than it is for a man to have sex with a woman who's joined to another man. There are certain groups of people who have an absolutely pathologic hatred of so-called gay men. I know of one instance of a man who has on a massive crusade against same-sex marriages between men. Now, firstly, his concern is only relevant to believers, and if it's a case of two believing men, it's between them and Father. It's none of the business of anyone else other than just to point out to them that what they're doing is committing adultery and that they will be judged at the end of their lives and go to hell if they don't stop doing it. But it's basically a personal thing. The problem is, because of wrong thinking and wrong teaching, just about every believing woman is joined to more than one believing man, and so pretty much the whole so-called body of believers is in adultery. And it can be cleaned up. There are prayers to be prayed. There's an article on the website on the essence of my message regarding separation of men and women, which goes through all the prayers, etc., that need to be prayed. It's quite a process where there's a lot of unions, but it can be done. Then men pass through various stages in their lives. A child, which is to puberty, 13 or 14 years old, a man to the age of 30, where he's learning about the family business or learning about business generally. As a father, now these are terms that are used in the Bible, specifically child, man, father, elder. So a father is somebody up to the age of 50 who's running the family business and raising his children. And an elder is somebody over the age of 50 who's running the city or running the country, etc. It is important to be aware of these stages and to work with them. That's the way we're programmed. So, again, this is all confused and mixed up and muddled up, and today we really don't have these clear delineations of roles and what have you. But broadly speaking, a child up to the age of puberty, 13 or 14 years old, learning basics, etc., then growing on to the age of 30, learning about life, learning about business, so they can take over the family business from their father at the age of 50, father or mother. And then from the age of 50, up to the age of 50, running the family business, and over 50, running the city, the country, etc., as an elder. Women can also have various states. They can have age-related states similar to men. So the woman works in partnership with the man in each of those phases. So, again, a child to puberty, 13 or 14 years old. A virgin is a woman at puberty, which originally was the age to marry. But 13 or 14-year-olds in our present society, for the most part, are not ready to marry. Society has not prepared them to marry at the age of 13 or 14. Then a woman is a woman who's in sexual life covenant with a man. So again, these are terms used in the Bible. A virgin, a nara, is a girl at puberty. A woman is a woman who is in sexual life covenant with a man. In other words, she's given her virginity to a man. A widow is a woman who is deceased, whose man is deceased or truly divorced. And a harlot is a woman who's joined to more than one man. You do not technically get a virgin in her 20s or 30s. It was never Father's intention for women not to marry. That said, because of the extreme lack of believing men in the body of believers today, it is so that the vast majority of believing women should never have sexual intercourse with a man. They can make love to a woman, they can have a lifetime relationship, sexual relationship with one or more other women. And there's a lot of confusion there because so-called lesbianism is equated. So it's acceptable in Father's sight for women to marry with other women. It's not acceptable in his sight for men to marry other men. There's much more on about men and women on the website at www.men-women. There's also etimen-men-women. There's also there is an ebook there on the scriptural definition of marriage, divorce, and adultery, which is an absolutely exhaustive analysis of all the verses in the Bible that have anything to do with men, women, marriage, divorce, adultery. If you're looking for the definitive text on what the Bible says about men and women, this is it. It took me probably about a year to collate and compile all of that. It's something like 360 pages. It's a heavyweight discussion if you're wanting to understand what is said there. It's really important to understand what I've said and to apply these principles in one's relationships between men and women in covenant relationships. What I would say to you is, if you're not a believer, don't worry too much about what I'm saying because it's really irrelevant for you. However, if you're a believer and you're not walking in pretty much all of what I've been talking about, there's need for some course correction. And I have to hop on it. The irony is that in Afghanistan and Iran, there are a lot of men who claim to be devout believers, and yet they are behaving in such a vile way. You know, one of the ironies is that 80 years ago, when Father gave me the demographics of the kingdom at that point, amongst of the three men who were closest to Father at that point, one was a Muslim cleric in Tehran in Iran. One was a cleric and imam. One was a Jewish rabbi in Jerusalem. And the third was somebody who'd come out of Christianity but was no longer calling themselves a Christian. So I want to move on to the next article, 2021-1002, Why Are You Afraid of Dying? One of the things I've noticed recently is the extent to which death is viewed as very undesirable. Our society goes to great lengths to prevent death, and individuals fight hard to avoid dying prematurely, whatever one means by prematurely. For example, I've come across a YouTube video where a group of charismatic Christians share about a spiritual battle through intercessory prayer to save the life of a young child. Inherently, they regard death as something highly undesirable and to be prevented at all costs. But nobody asks the question as to whether the child would be better off dying. Eventually, after about 3 weeks of intense intercession by a whole group of people, the child turns the corner and death is averted, and so they're set on a road of growing up in a messed up and confused world. What nobody considers is that there may be some curse or something else operating on that child's life, that they're going to have a really messed up life and they would be better off to die and go to heaven when they're a few months old. But nobody asks that question. Nobody says, what, Father, what's your will? Nobody says, Father, let your will be done. Accordingly, I'd like to look at the realities of one's options at death and whether one should, in fact, fear death. And by extension, how should one live one's life on a day-to-day basis? So if you're an unbeliever, if you do not have a deep, settled assurance of the reality of the Creator and some level of relationship with Him, then death is undesirable. When you die, you will become a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon, unable to move around without external motive power. In the worst case, you will end up on your rotting corpse in the grave for eternity or in the crematorium oven, or you might manage to move on to a family member or other mourner who embraces your corpse. Or, if you're a notable sinner, you might be transferred onto a designated target to lead them into deeper sin. Irrespective of the exact outcome, you do have good reason to fear death, and that applies to virtually the whole population of the earth today. This includes most nominally religious people. If you do not have a deep personal relationship with the Almighty Creator, you are not going to heaven, and you're going to end up as a demon, an ancestor spirit. And that's going to be really unpleasant. And you're going to stay that way for the best part of 1,000 years until Satan is released from the pit in about 3003. And then if Satan wins the contest, he will remain with you on earth forever. The catch is that Father will withdraw his spirit from earth and everything on earth will die. So if you're just sitting on a human being and haunting them, you will be stuck on that corpse and you'll sit there while the corpse dries out or whatever happens, bearing in mind that there won't even be living organisms to decay that corpse. And you can stay there for a long time. Hopefully, Satan won't win the contest, at which point you'll then get thrown into the lake of fire and utterly consumed. So then the next category is an unbelieving believer. If you at some time momentarily deeply recognized the existence of the Creator, but then reverted to leading life as though He does not exist, then when you die, you will indeed make it into heaven, but into the outer darkness, the outer reaches of heaven, a pitch black, ice cold, highly unpleasant location with millions of others weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth at their misfortune. The trash heap of heaven, those are the Almighty's words, arguably a worse outcome than dying as an unbeliever. And if you die as a believer with unrepented sin, you will spend a season in hell, being tortured for your sin before you make it into heaven, where you will be rewarded for what you've done for the Almighty. See the webpage Hell that deals with this. It's better than nothing, but you might still be justified in fearing death in this case. If you're going to be end up in the outer darkness, definitely good reason to fear death. But the answer to that is to start growing your relationship with Father. Get actively involved with Him. Don't carry on behaving like He doesn't exist. If you're a believer with sin, remember that Yeshua died a terrible death, so you have an easy way to be forgiven. All you've got to do is to come to a realization that you've done wrong, take the bread and wine, and say, Father, in the name of Yeshua, as I drink of this cup, I thank you that you forgive me. My sin, I repent, I turn around, and I commit not to commit that sin anymore. And that's the process, but it's there. It's available to you. So you can then graduate to being a believer free of sin. If you die as a believer free of sin, which is entirely possible, see the webpage, What is Required to Live Above Sin. You will go directly to heaven and be rewarded for what you've accomplished on earth, for Father, you are the Almighty Creator. See the web page, where are you going? In this case, you have no reason to fear death. In fact, if you really get a fix on this, you will look forward to dying, barring that you will have a ministry and calling that will keep you on earth for a while. I mean, quite frankly, I would love to shed this mortal coil right now. I'm so tired of this life. But I've got work to do. I've got a ministry to run. I've got other people to teach. So I'm kind of looking at this from a point of view of hanging around and keeping the ministry going, keeping the websites going, etc., until I'm at least 80. And if I look at the mess the world is in now and the amount of work that's necessary to turn things around, it occurs to me that I may be around even until I'm 90 or beyond, which doesn't really fill me with a lot of joy and glee. I would rather be in heaven. I've got a real clear picture of how beautiful heaven is. If you look at the full copy of this article on the website, there are links to about half a dozen YouTube recordings of people who were taken to heaven and just telling you how beautiful heaven is, how peaceful it is, how vibrant the colors are, how there's no illness, there's no fighting, there's no arguing, there's everybody's enjoying themselves, they're worshiping Father, they're talking to Yeshua, Jesus. It's a fabulous thing. If you're a believer and you're close to death, I suggest you just say, Father, you know, I'm ready to go. Please take me. So as I said a moment ago, heaven is real and it's beautiful. And as I mentioned, there's some useful references on the full copy of this article on the website. That's Why Are You Afraid of Dying? Those who have been to heaven and returned say that it is beautiful. See the links on the webpage I've just mentioned. That being so, there is no reason for a truly committed believer who's making a sincere effort to serve the Almighty Creator, Yah the eternally self-existing, not Jesus, not the Lord, not God, to fear death. Know that a child below the age of accountability, which is, as I said, 13 or 14, falls under the covering of their father. If the father is a believer, in which case the child goes directly to heaven. So in the case mentioned above, there was really no need to spend 3 weeks interceding. The counterpoint to that is if you are a true believer and free of sin, you will have a reasonable basis to expect to live to age 80 or older, provided you stay free of sin and error. See the full article on the website for the various YouTube links that I've referred to. So, folks, if you're a believer, the challenge for you today is to get as close to Father as you possibly can. And I've spoken about this on quite a few occasions over the last few years. There's a lot on the website about it, a lot of recordings about it, becoming a friend of the Almighty. And I encourage you to go for it and seek to become his friend. So in wrapping up, I'd like to ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to him today. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. I can't stress this enough. There are several pieces here. One is, do you believe he exists? If you believe he exists, do you have a deep personal relationship with him? If you have a deep personal relationship with him, what are you doing on his behalf every day to advance his agenda? What ministry do you have? Do you have a ministry? That could be as simple as taking teachings from other sources and redistributing them, republishing them to a mailing list of your friends and associates. It could be posting stuff on LinkedIn and Facebook and YouTube and SideShare and Twitter and other social media sites. It could be going out and talking to people in the street. You need to be doing something concrete to advance the kingdom of Yah beyond just believing and having relationship, because that is what is going to get you to the highest ranks in heaven. So closing off, some key documents and a video on the website. Why seek relationship? The miracle of Yeshua's death. The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. Seven components in drawing close to the Creator. Recommended worship. The Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing. The essence of my message to Christians, also articles for Jews, Muslims, other faiths, and unbelievers, all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom of the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio pages, and they're all available at www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. There are at least four podcast websites with all the back issues. The videos which have been broadcast for about the last 6 months now, most of them are on LinkedIn, all of them are on YouTube. There's a lot of material there in various places. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 until May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. Those are all along the top two rows of the website menu. The Google search is particularly powerful, full Google search capability. Over 1,000 web pages, 2,500 articles, a lot of information there. So if you've got questions, you may well find answers to your questions on the website. So in closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. I can't stress this enough. Ultimately, the only reason we're here is that Father wants you to become his friend. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, well-educated or poorly educated, short or tall, thin or fat, blonde or blue-eyed, black hair, brown eyes, anything in between. It doesn't matter if you're a Satanist, a witch, warlock, a Catholic, a Jew, a Protestant, Christian, a Baptist, a Muslim, a Baha'i, a Confucius, a Buddhist, a Hindu. It doesn't matter who you are. Father Yah wants you to become his friend. And he will meet you wherever you are, and he will help you to journey from where you are to where he wants you to be, where you want to be, as close to him as any other human being has ever been. It is up to you to qualify for a really high throne in heaven if you put your mind to it. I strongly appeal to you, seek to become his friend. Thank you so much. Good night.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands. By your grace I stand.